The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tubridy with you. It is Tuesday morning, the 14th of January, 2020, at 4 minutes past nine. We're here till 10. Good to have you with us. 51551 will be the text number. You can email ryan@rte.ie. Are you totally up to speed now with the Oscar nominations? I presume you are, but if not, just quickly. Obviously, the Irish eyes are on Saoirse Ronan, who I think is kind of cursed sometimes by the nature of the film she's in and the competition within which she finds herself. Because it seems that the likes of Charlize Theron and Renée Zellweger, not Charlize Theron, I mean Scarlett Johansson and Renée Zellweger are winning everything all around her. And I fear the same might happen again for her, and a fourth time. Glenn Close has been nominated, I think, 7 times without a win. That's now, I don't mean to be saying, now listen, Saoirse, Glenn Close has been nominated 7, but you know, you just never know. It would just be lovely that if she could actually get over the line on this one. A nomination is delightful. She should have won one for Atonement, by the way. That was a hands-down win. And the rest we could discuss. But anyway, she's in the mix. It is brilliant for her. Great for us to have that Irish interest in the Oscars. I mean, it is amazing. 4th time. So hats off for that. I was delighted to see, actually, having spoken about it yesterday, Jojo Rabbit, that movie. Quirky little movie, is nominated for Best Film. It will not win it. I mean, if it does, it's the world's gone completely mad, but in a good way. But it won't win it. A film that I love, Joker. Joker was a spectacular, dark, bonkers film that is, it deserves all the award nominations it's getting. That's what I think. But like all films, I was talking to a guy in a bookshop yesterday, like all films, like books, you say you like Joker, I say that, somebody else will say, I hate Joker. So this is what it's all about. It's great fun. They're the big ones. And then obviously, I presume Joaquin Phoenix should win that, but they might get scared by giving it to some for such a crazy performance and give it to somebody else, but we'll see. Anyway, that's they're the big ones. The one I haven't seen, I really want to see it, and I'll go and see it and I'll come back to you on that, is 1917. That's the my next big movie. I'll hopefully see it this week at some point. Ford versus Ferrari, I've no interest in seeing, but I presume it's probably brilliant, but I just couldn't, it just wouldn't do it for me. Marriage Story just looks too depressing. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was amazing. Loved it. The Irishman just left me cold, and I talked about Jojo Rabbit, loved, Joker, loved, Little Women, loved. And the one that seems to be brilliant, but I don't know how I'm going to see it or where it's available, is called Parasite. It's a foreign language film that's apparently excellent, but I've no idea where to see it. Now, I am a nerd, and I don't for a moment shy away from that fact. And in fact, when I meet kids particularly and I say, oh, you're a bunch of nerds, and they go, oh, you can't say that. You can, of course. It's, as I say, if you're in the gang, it's a great thing. But there's a guy in the Mail today who's taken it to new levels entirely. His name is Monty. I presume he's English, but his name is Monty Lord. He'd want to be English. And he has taken it upon himself. He can name 129 books by the first line of the book alone, which is pretty impressive. I got a brilliant quiz book for Christmas. For about an hour or two over Christmas dinner, we were nerding out with this book called, it was like the Penguin Quiz Book. And it was all questions to do about books, literature, but also because of they're all, nearly every movie you've ever seen was originally a book or a short story. It's all to do with that. It's a great little quiz book. It's too late for Christmas now. But anyway, it's also a very attractive, very pretty book to look at because it's got the classic Penguin cover. Anyway, back to this piece in the Mail today. This 14-year-old has achieved his ambition to be in the Book of Records by identifying 129 books consecutively just from their opening sentence. Not an easy thing to do. So they give an example of 10. I just ran through them there while the news was on. And I did all right, but I'll give you 3 and we'll see how we go. And then I'll give you the answer at the end of the papers. How's that? Which one would I give you? I'll give you, yeah. It was a bright, cold day in April and the clocks were striking 13. All right, that's one. Two, once there was a little girl called Sophie. And three, and finally, the boy with fair hair lowered himself down the last few feet of rock and began to pick his way through towards the lagoon. And I'm going to give you one last one because it's one of my favourite books of all time, which is, what's it going to be then, eh? Yes. OK, tell you the answers to all that in a minute or two. Now, Holland versus the Netherlands. Anyone? Holland versus the Netherlands. What are we calling it? What's it going to be then, eh? What are we going to call it? If you avoided ever referring to the Netherlands as Holland because you weren't quite sure that if that was correct, keep doing what you're doing because Holland / Netherlands, the country kicked off 2020 by officially striking the name Holland from use. Now, Holland technically refers to only two of the Netherlands' 12 provinces. So the others feel left out. So they don't want Holland. Holland's gone. North and South Holland. Citizens have long accepted and even embraced it as another moniker for the entire country. But because those two provinces are home to popular destinations like Amsterdam, Rotterdam and The Hague, unmanageable masses of tourists are clogging the region and inching the Netherlands towards an over-tourism crisis. So terminating references to Holland is part of the Netherlands' nationwide endeavour to remind prospective tourists that the country isn't just Holland. And there's plenty of other appealing locales beyond the quaint canals and cat houseboats of Amsterdam. So 2020, if you're heading to Europe and you want to visit Holland, don't go there. Go to the Netherlands instead. Holland is verboten. I did go to Amsterdam and I thought it was pretty, but I was a little underwhelmed. Is that fair to say? Yeah, no, I just thought, yeah, it's fine. A lot of bikes, a lot of smoking, a lot of, like, you know, which is great, but not a family holiday, put that way. I didn't think so. I know I could be wrong, but the Van Gogh Museum was pretty and the streets were quite nice, but no, I wouldn't be rushing back. Luke Skywalker. Actor Mark Hamill has announced he's quitting Facebook. He says that he disagrees with Mark Zuckerberg's policies. He sent a tweet to his 3.6 million followers saying that he decided to delete his Facebook account. He said, "I'm so disappointed that Zuckerberg values profits more than truthfulness, and I've decided to delete my account. I know this is a big who cares for the world at large, but I'll sleep better at night." Facebook announced last week that it would remove deepfakes or video or audio that has been altered to depict a person doing something they never did or say something they never said on its platform ahead of the 2020 presidential election. Well, look, it's a place for crazy horses now, isn't it? Because there's they don't accept responsibility for so many things. Twitter's the same. You take your life in your hands in terms of what's true and what's real when you go on these things. And that's why I'm a bit of a sucker for old-fashioned journalism. I think people who know what they're writing know what they're saying, and fact-check does it for me. And that's why I pick up a paper or go online to sites and journals that I trust. I'm a fan of people who beat the streets with their notepads and actually go out and dig up a story. And we've got great journals in this country, and they should be supported and lauded and encouraged, because there's just too much muck online, lads. That's the truth. All right, especially with elections coming down the line in Ireland and in as we know, in the USA, however, you just don't know what muck you're being spoon-fed by some guy in an internet cafe in whatever, Bosnia-Herzegovina. Okay, 51551 is the text number. Gillian Anderson, always like Gillian Anderson, has said that it would be the end of her relationship with her playwright partner if they lived together. This is a kind of a funky boho trope that comes out every so often with people who are extremely wealthy and lash out this line. They said their separate homes mean that she is free from doing his household chores, blah, blah, blah. But she's also revealed that her and her partner, the playwright, screenwriter and creator of The Crown, Peter Morgan, didn't know they were going out till this morning. Do not live together despite having been in a relationship for 3 years. She, who has been married twice before, said their living arrangement meant it feels so special when we do come together, and added that by remaining in separate households, she has 3 children, he has 5, she didn't have the fear of losing her house or having to pick up his dirty laundry. I presume her priorities are in that order. "I start to miss the person I want to be with, though, and that's a lovely feeling," she said. But she should take a reading from the book of Helena Bonham Carter and Tim Burton. who also went around trotting out that line, and that ended not only in tears, but in the end of their relationship, sadly. So just to say, when you hear these things, you never know. Now, how are we feeling about WhatsApp groups? Do we like them, or do they drive us mad? Are we okay? Here's what I feel, if you care to listen. The WhatsApp groups are useful. It's one of the reasons I went on to the Nokia for a while, because I felt that I was being bungled into WhatsApp groups much the same way I was. You might be shoved into the back of a van out of the side of the street, like in a movie. And suddenly you found yourself going, why do I have to respond to these things? I don't want to be here. Yeah, we're doing a WhatsApp group for the weekend away. Can we not just stay? Anyway, I think I'm in about probably four, and there are four that I want to be in. And that's it. But these ones then that are set up for temporarily, then how do you extricate yourself without people being offended? There's a whole, or somebody put something into it. Do we all respond, or is there an etiquette? It's a tricky one. But there's a head principal in the UK, and he's sick of them because he feels that what's happened with is that parents are all on these parents' WhatsApp groups. Now, I'm not on such a thing, but apparently they are. And it's very popular, happening in this country too a lot. But the principal is saying that they're just a forum for negativity, full of vitriolic tirades that are destructive and damaging to the school's workings, that the parents are kind of bitching and moaning about teachers or principals. And he says there's a worrying trend towards schools setting up mass email chains or large group conversations on WhatsApp, and that they can undermine the delicate and critical relationship between parents and their child's school. And he said the relationship has been eroded in recent years as a result of messages posted through WhatsApp groups or round-robin emails to all parents in a particular year. And while these can be a useful way for teachers to communicate with mothers and fathers of pupils in a particular form or year group, he warned that they will have a downside, and they do. The rise of these forms or year group gatherings demonstrate a worrying state of affairs for some parents. He says, while these groups can be helpful and really positive, they can also fuel misunderstanding and become a form for negativity. So, where's food for thought there? There's another piece about it all. You could have a family WhatsApp group, for example, and then you might have what the guys were describing brilliantly upstairs as being a splinter group. So you have the continuity family group, where one person or the other person just doesn't happen to be included in that because they're pains in the hoop and just don't want them now knocking around the group, and therefore you have to just keep moving around that, or that they, whatever it is. Apparently this goes on in the world. There's the office or work group, of course, that's another one. Do you want to be in that? Is it helpful? I suppose it depends. Depends how you get on with people. If you get on with, if your work group are like your friends, then it's kind of cool. But if your work group are like work, then that's got to be a pain. And the family splinter group is mentioned actually in this piece this morning, which is quite funny. There's an animal lovers only form. Well, that's fine too. The safe space for dangerous thoughts group. Now, that I find to be probably the big one for WhatsApp is that I think most people I find on WhatsApp are at their most honest in that form than in any other, bar meeting somebody, having a conversation. Amateur sports teams, groups, and so on. So the WhatsApp group, it's a thorny little subject. It's a tricky one to tiptoe through because, like everything, there's etiquette and protocol, and people can be hurt and sad, depending what you say. Chris says, I accidentally called the Netherlands the Nether Regions in a meeting once, so it could be worse. Still mortified. As you should be, in fairness. I mean, you obviously had something on your mind that day and it just came out, and that's going to happen. That is going to happen. And another message comes in to say there's more to the country than the provinces of Holland, North and South. It's a great country with a fascinating history. Try Zeeland, Brabant and Limburg. I may be biased, says a message on Twitter about the Netherlands. Right, 51551 is the text number this morning. We have quite a lot to talk about, which we will get into in due course. But I think we'll go a little old school to kick off at 9:18. I haven't seen him for a while, but that's Kiss from a Rose, and yeah, an absolutely beautiful song, says Helen. It is that. And it's from 1995, which is quite relevant to us today because on the 9th of February, 1995, Riverdance, the show, premiered at the Point Depot in Dublin. And this was, of course, the interval act that wowed TV audiences and became this big thing. The reason I'm saying that is because it's coming home to celebrate 25 years with five performances from the 6th to the 9th of February at the Three Arena. And you could be at the gala night exactly 25 years to the day on the 9th of February in the Three Arena. And not only that, but the daily winner of our quiz today will go into a draw for a trip to New York. How about that? A trip to New York to see Riverdance 25 at Radio City Music Hall. I've never been to Radio City Music Hall, but I would imagine it's something else. And that will happen on Tuesday the 10th of March. You'll get return flights from Dublin to New York on Monday the 9th of March, coming back then to Dublin on the Thursday the 12th of March. Three nights overnight in a double room at the Sheraton Manhattan Times Square Hotel. So if you want to have a whirl at that, why not? Give us a call, 1850 715 900. Answer as many questions about the year 1995 in 1 minute. And whatever happens, you'll win tickets to the gala, which is good news. I've meant to say the runner-up yesterday won tickets to the gala performance. I neglected to say that, but that's the truth. Right, the three quotes. I never told you what books they were from, so I'll tell you. Quote number one was, "It was a bright, cold day in April and the clocks were striking 13. It's a wonderful book that I haven't read for 20 years, but it's so relevant. It's 1984 by George Orwell. Once there was a little girl called Sophie, and that comes from The Tiger Who Came to Tea by Judith Kerr." Could have been the BFG, couldn't it? And the other one was What's It Gonna Be Then, eh? Which is one of my all-time favourite books by Anthony Burgess, and that's A Clockwork Orange. And then finally, the boy with fair hair lowered himself down the last few feet of rock and began to pick his way through the lagoon. That comes from Lord of the Flies by William Golding. So that's your little bit of bookishness this morning. Gilbert McCullough was on to say, "Mention of the Netherlands / Holland reminds me of a question I've never got an answer to. The people from France are called French. The people from Germany are called German. So why are the people from the Netherlands called Dutch? Yes, I know I should get a life, but some minor questions require answers. Thanks, Gilbert." If you're expecting me to answer that question, I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to meet those expectations because I don't know the answer, but we're going to find out for you in due course. Are they now Dutch or Netherlanders? This I don't know. This is getting out of control. Will Hollandaise sauce become Nederlandaise sauce? Will Dutch Edam become Nederlish Edam? Says Brendan. I've caused you all sorts of gastronomic and linguistic pain this morning. There's contortions being twisted in houses and kitchens and cars around the country as a result of this. I'm sorry. It was just a passing observation about an article in the newspaper, but little did I know the chaos it might cause. Amsterdam is just a city, says Mary in Dublin. The Netherlands is absolutely beautiful. Once you get out of the cities, Meppel in the north is stunning with its dikes, beautiful tulip fields and lovely old villages. And you have plenty more places and the trains take you everywhere. And I'm Irish, says Mary, who's keen to point that out rather than feeling that she's, I suppose, plugging her own country for no particular reason. You can see Parasite at the Pavilion in Dunleary on the 6th of April. Thank you, Carmel. This film just sounds intriguing. And it's also going to be in the IFI in Dublin, the Irish Film Institute, on Monday the 3rd of February with a satellite link Q&A with the director. How about that? You'll have to give Marriage Story a go, says Dave. It's a beautiful film. Yes, at times it's sad, but there are funny, quirky moments in it too. Sorry, guys, I just don't think so. I'm in a few WhatsApp groups, says Anne-Marie, some of which are handy for kids' activities. They can be useful also, but annoying. Why people can't keep the content of message to the group, relatives to the group, and not send thumbs up emojis for everything or numerous Happy New Year messages. That's my rant for the day. Yeah, well, you got that off your chest now and you can feel better about the world. The Museum of Literature of Ireland. I got to see it yesterday for the first time ever. It's beside the University Church there in St. Stephen's Green. It was Newman House once upon a time, so big connections with UCD. And they've done an absolutely beautiful job. A wonderful coffee shop, great staff, and a breaks out from the back door all the way into a little seating area at the back, and then a gorgeous gate brings you back out to the Ivy Garden. So in the sunshine, that'll be lovely. But that's not before we get to the reading areas and the exhibitions and the bookishness of the whole thing and a gorgeous shop. It's lovely. They're calling it Molly, the Museum of Literature of Ireland, and it's a new one and worth a look for book lovers of Ireland. Well worth a look. Now, 51551 is the text number. About famous people and the romantic slash living arrangements. We must remember this. Actors can act, singers can sing, writers can write, but they're not necessarily any better at life than the rest of us. Hear, hear. So we shouldn't be overly concerned about their diets, their political views, their domestic arrangements, etc. We probably know better ourselves. That text could have been written by Ricky Gervais. And I think you're quite right on all of what you've said. 28 minutes past nine, we'll bring you an item of some importance after this.